Good morning and welcome to you and our radio audience. We appreciate you tuning in and we hope that you listen for the duration of this program as we attempt to speak only things from God's holy and divine word. If at any time you have a question about something that's said on this program, or if you have a Bible question or a Bible subject you'd like for us to deal with on the program, please feel free to contact us at the information that will be given by the announcer. We've been studying from the book of Acts, and hopefully, if you have opportunity, you can take Bible in hand. And today, we want to begin our study with looking at Acts chapter 10. This chapter is of particular interest in that it's about the first Gentile convert. To this point, in what we have studied from the book of Acts, the gospel has only been preached to the Jews. But here, a Gentile is saved, and he is saved without being circumcised. We have three chapters that tell about the conversion of Cornelius. Acts 10 is the actual account itself. Acts 11 records what Peter does in retelling the story. And in Acts chapter 15, again, we see Peter making use of Cornelius' conversion in the discussion that took place in Jerusalem. At the center of this chapter is the principle that God shows no partiality, and that we see in verses 34 and 35. Peter opened his mouth and said, "In truth, I perceive that God shows no partiality, but in every nation, whoever fears him and works righteousness is accepted by him." So we see then that prior to those verses, we see how that conclusion was reached, and that we see in verse 1 all the way up to verse 33. And then we have the conclusion in verse 34 and 35 that we've just read. And next, we see two actions because of that conclusion. One action is given in verses 36 through 48, and that is Peter preaches to the Gentiles, and Cornelius obeys the gospel. So let's look at Acts chapter 10. We see in verses 1 and 2, but let's just read verse 1 for the moment. "There was a certain man in Caesarea called Cornelius, a centurion of what was called the Italian regiment." So we see we have a man who was a centurion of the Italian regiment. What that means is Cornelius was a military man. A centurion had command over 100 soldiers. A regiment, which the King James calls band, was a division of the Roman army which consisted of 500 to 1,000 soldiers. The Italian regiment was probably a band or a regiment that was composed of soldiers from Italy, in distinction from those that were composed of soldiers that were born in other parts of the Roman Empire. It's evident that many of the soldiers in the Roman army would be those that were born in other parts of the world, and it's altogether probable that those that were born in Rome or Italy would claim some sort of a preeminence over those that had enlisted from other places. But despite his power and authority, Cornelius had the same need for salvation that the lowest private would have had. We see his qualities in verse 2. "A devout man and one who feared God with all of his household, who gave alms generously to the people and prayed to God always." And we also see it in verse 22, when they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all the nation of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you." So we see that Cornelius was a good, moral, and religious man. The Bible says he was devout in verse 2. He was sincerely devoted to his religious service. he was active in his convictions. Verse 2 and also verse 22 says he feared God. He gave alms. Alms were charity. Alms were benevolence. And he did that generously, according to verse 2. He was good to others. He prayed to God continually, as verse 2 pointed out. And verse 22 said he was a just man. He was honorable. He was honest. And verse 22 said he had a good reputation, even though he was a Gentile. He had a good reputation among all the Jews. And yet here is something that we need to give serious consideration to. In spite of all of these great qualities, he was not saved. And that we see in the retelling of this conversion by Peter in Acts 11 and verse 14, when he says that he was to send for Peter. And verse 14 of Acts 11 says, "Who will tell you words by which you and all your household will be saved?" So we see that his outstanding morals didn't save him. Just being religious did not save Cornelius. So we find then that God brings Cornelius and Peter together. And this we read starting with verse 3 of Acts 10 and going up through verse 33. We read that there are two miracles that are recorded in these verses. Why are these miracles present in this case of conversion and not in others? Well, this is, again, remember, the first Gentile convert. The purpose of these miracles is to bring Cornelius, who is a prospect for the gospel, and Peter, who is the preacher, together. Let's look beginning with verse 3. About the ninth hour of the day, he saw clearly in a vision an angel of God coming in and saying to him, "Cornelius." And when he observed him, he was afraid and said, "What is it, Lord?" So he said to him, "Your prayers and your alms have come up for a memorial before God. Now send to Joppa and sent for Simon, whose surname is Peter. He's lodging with Simon, a tanner, whose house is by the sea. And he will tell you what you must do." And when the angel who spoke to him had departed, Cornelius called two of his household servants and a devout soldier from among those who waited on him continually. So when he had explained all these things to them, he sent them to Joppa. So we see what we've read in these verses is that about the ninth hour of the day, which would be about 3 in the afternoon, Cornelius had a vision of an angel speaking to him. The angel told him that his prayers and his alms had come up as a memorial before God. And this raises a question about the harmony of this passage with verses like John 9 and verse 31, where we're told that God does not hear sinners. What we need to understand is God may hear the prayer of the alien. That we would not argue. We can be sure that God is aware of what the alien is doing, what the alien sinner is saying. Evidence would be the case of Cornelius, and, for that matter, the case of Saul that we've studied a day or so ago. God may even respond somehow, but that is not answering the prayer in the sense that he promises to listen to the prayers of the righteous. His ears are not open to those who are not righteous. We know that from 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 12. So then, he was then told to send men to Joppa to bring Peter, who would, again, remember in verses 5 and 6, would tell him what he must do. So Cornelius called 3 men. 2 were his household servants, and 1 was a soldier. And according to what we read in verses 7 and 8, he sends them to Joppa. Now, this vision, this miracle, had nothing to do with Cornelius being saved. If it did, why didn't the same thing happen in all of the other cases of conversion that we either have already studied in the book of Acts or those that we will hopefully study? When the angel departed, there's no evidence that he yet believes in Christ, because Cornelius did not hear the sermon, because the angel did not preach to him a sermon. The point of this vision was for Cornelius to call for Peter. So now let's look at verse 9. We have Peter having a vision to go to Cornelius. In verse 9, the next day as they went on their journey and drew near the city, Peter went up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. Then he became very hungry and wanted to eat. But while they made ready, he fell into a trance and saw heaven opened and an object like a great sheet bound at the four corners descending to him and let down to the earth. In it were all kinds of four-footed animals of the earth, wild beasts, creeping things, and birds of the air. And a voice came to him, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat." But Peter said, "Not so, Lord, for I have never eaten anything common or unclean." And a voice spoke to him again the second time, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." This was done three times, and the object was taken up into heaven again. Now while Peter wondered within himself about what this vision was, which he had seen, behold, the men who had been sent from Cornelius had made inquiry for Simon's house and stood before the door, or the gate rather. And they called and asked whether Simon, whose surname was Peter, was lodging there. While Peter thought about the vision, the Spirit said to him, "Behold, three men are seeking you. Arise, therefore, go down and go with them, doubting nothing, for I have sent them." Then Peter went down to the men who had been sent to him from Cornelius and said, "Yes, I am he whom you seek. For what reason have you come?" And they said, "Cornelius the centurion, a just man, one who fears God and has a good reputation among all of the nations of the Jews, was divinely instructed by a holy angel to summon you to his house and to hear words from you. Then he invited them in and lodged them. On the next day, Peter went away with them, and some brethren from Joppa accompanied him." So we see now Peter's vision for him to go to Cornelius. He goes up on the housetop to pray about the sixth hour. The sixth hour would have been somewhere in the neighborhood of noon. And while there, waiting for a meal to be prepared, he fell into a trance in which he saw a vision, as we read in verse 10. He saw something like a sheet let down out of heaven, with all kinds of wild beasts, creeping things, and birds, as verse 12 pointed out. He heard a voice say, "Rise, Peter, kill and eat," in verse 13. Peter refused, saying that he didn't eat things common or unclean, in verse 14. And then the voice said, "What God has cleansed, you must not call common." And this was done, according to verse 16, three times. Peter learns from the vision that the Gentiles are acceptable. We read that when we go on down to verse 28. "And Peter said to them, 'You know how unlawful it is for a Jewish man to keep company with or go to another, of one of another nation. But God has shown me that I should not call any man common or unclean. Therefore I came without objection as soon as I was sent for. I asked them, for what reason have you sent for me?'" So the point being that Peter was to go to the Gentiles. See, so the time is up at this point, so we'll, Lord willing, continue with this lesson tomorrow, and we hope that you will listen and tune in again tomorrow at the same time. It's until then that we bid you a pleasant good day, and now we turn you to our announcer.